All right, now I do want to say that we are continuing to watch that story in the Persian Gulf, where United States two very small United States Navy crafts, we'll call them, as opposed to vessels, are being detained by Iranian officials, and there's 10 crew members that are said to be in. At least the guests of the Iranians at the moment. It's hard. We don't know whether we should call...
They're intentional guests or welcome guests,
yes,
or what the situation is.
So we're going to watch that very, very closely here. As any details become available on that, we'll bring them to you. And Dr. J right now, John Jarian, optionmonster.com, trademonster.com, and How We Trade Options, he wrote with his brother Pete, is a book that is available where all fine books are sold on the Internet. And I want to ask you, this is shocking, the Royal Bank of Scotland, RBS, not a small institution,
mm-mm,
an international bank. They have their own golf tournament, and therefore you know that they must be real.
They're big time.
They instructed their traders to hit the sell button because, and I don't want to misquote them here, but they're basically saying, they're urging investors to sell everything except high-quality bonds, warning of a fairly cataclysmic year ahead.
How can you have fairly cataclysmic?
What does that mean?
That's a great question, Ro. No one really has the answer to that except that strategist at RBS. I will say, though, that they're not exactly known for being terribly accurate. They had one
RBS.
Of the worst... They had one of the worst problems going into the financial crisis of any bank, or global bank. And so, you know, I'm not just trying to damn them with that. I'm just saying that they haven't been terribly prescient with these calls in the past. Let's just leave it at that.
Do you think other institutions, banking houses, will follow suit here? Is there any indication that that's happening? People are taking another look after seeing this particular advice?
Well, Anna, I think the first year or the first week of the year made a lot of people nervous. There's no doubt about that. And today was really the first day that we were higher, of course, last Friday on a good jobs report, and then we viciously sold off in the last hour. Today we were higher, sold off as crude oil rolled over, as you guys have been reporting. But then we're able to make a comeback late in the day and finished with a triple-digit gain. So I think some traders will be heartened by that. And I think overall the $1 trillion that Draghi is spending over in the EU will help not only stabilize, but will help push those markets higher. And that's the second or third largest economy on Earth behind ours and the Chinese.
So I wonder, and I know you're going to think this is many may think that this is a goofy question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. I think because of this movie, The Big Short, which is, you know, telling the story of the guys who figured out about the credit default swaps in 2008 and were warning and trying to get, you know, out of the way of it. It's just come out, and it's Oscar season. So, and it's one of those movies that will probably get nominated for one, and the actors will get nominated for it. And I think
right.
A lot of people in finance, as they like to say, will probably be looking at that. And I think there's such a fear of being wrong about that now, because everybody else was wrong in 2008, except for this, you know, well, not everybody else, but many others were wrong, other than these guys who got a movie made about them. I think everybody's, there's the Big Short effect going on, and I think that guys like RBS or their analysts at RBS, and then people like George Soros and others along the way who are like, you know, get out, get out, get out, get out. They all have for every transaction, there's a winner and a loser, right? And how do we know that they're not on the other side of this? And how do we know that they're just not trying to be heroes and being everybody's overly being cautious?
Or that they're shorting
it
and trying to make money that way.
Exactly. And I don't think RBS is doing that. Certainly I wouldn't put that beyond Mr. Soros, because he's done that in the past. Famously, of course, he's famous for dumping basically the British pound when they were trying to support that currency in Great Britain. And he basically waited until they'd virtually run out of money supporting their currency. sold the heck out of it down there, and then when it fell, he was able to make a very large profit, billions of dollars, quite quickly. But in this case, guys, I think some of these calls, it's not Chicken Little, but there are plenty of folks with North Korea testing nukes, whether or not it's hydrogen or otherwise, with China having a lot of pressing numbers, and finally perhaps stabilizing today was the first real sign of any stabilization over there in the last month, for that matter. There are certainly some reasons for people to be nervous, but, you know, as Ro, you always have told me about your Uncle Warren Buffett, when he wants to buy when others are fearful, and when they're greedy, then you should be fearful.
So are you, suggesting there are some opportunities out there right now, or would you kind of just kind of sit down and say, hey, I'm holding on most of the positions I have already, if you're a common investor like us?
Well, if you're somebody investing in something like Disney, I think you absolutely hold it. Disney, Nike, and those kinds of companies. If you're somebody who's thinking about getting in, I would point to some energy plays. If you have a one-year time frame, I'd say you're going to double your money in the next year if you're in some of these energy plays that have been very beaten up here. Also, Chipotle, you know, that's one that obviously...
Yeah, where do you go with that, Jay?
Well, I haven't done anything yet. My friend Jeff Mackey has been very right keeping me away from it. However, you know, this is a stock that was mid-700s, Ro, that now you're buying in the mid-400s. To put it in better perspective, a $73 stock that's now $43. I still think they're going to sell an awful lot of stuff and stuff that doesn't make people sick. But, you know, when you get charged with a subpoena,
right.
And people have...
There's actually a criminal investigation now into whether there was a cover-up, so that creates a problem.
Yeah.
Although Chipotle is a very, you know, Chipotle, the reason it was, you know, a highly valued stock, it was in that 73, as you were, mm-hmm. as you'd say, position, was because it was a well-run company. It had very limited cost exposure because, you know, limited ingredients and their lines are simple and all that.
And everybody loves a good Chipotle.
High profit margin.
Right. High profit margin on that product.
Yeah. I mean, average ticket at a Chipotle had to be over $8.60 versus McDonald's at, you know, which spun it out from there.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah. As far as the percentage of your wallet, Chipotle is getting a much larger percentage.
Yeah, and at a lower cost. So that's a very good, very well run business. The problem is they had some food safety issues. Yeah, okay, or at least contagion issues. I think they're saying that one of those outbreaks was actually norovirus, not related to their food. But that's, you know, still not so, still not good.
No, it's not
necessarily good.
Yeah.
All right. So I go back to this. If you look at the year 2016 in China. Or as our friend Donald Trump calls it.
China.
Not a relative, unlike some other people you just mentioned. China.
Right.
If you look at them, they still have as many people as the United States have that China has in their what we would consider to be higher middle class to upper middle class consumption class. They've got about 300 million people who can buy good stuff in China, and have been buying that. And now the question is, will the economy, the Chinese economy, and then their reconfiguration of their currency, will that sustain? Will that allow them to sustain this? But the piece of this is that because China can manipulate their currency, won't they want to keep those people consuming? And won't that be because they want them to consume as much of plenty more of their own stuff than they will stuff from around the world? And isn't that good for our people selling into China?
Yep, it is extremely good for us. Now, the bad part of that, though, Ro, is just as you discussed, the fact that the dollar being relatively strong is a bit of a problem. That is a headwind for U.S. companies selling into the likes of China. Now, the good news is, for the most part, their yuan or their renminbi, depending which way we want to refer to their currency, is pretty much tied to our dollar. So they're not being hurt as much by exports from us to them as, for instance, U.S. companies are from here to Europe, because in European terms, in the euro terms, it's about 27% more expensive now to buy any U.S. good or service than it was maybe 14 months ago.
You know, Dr. J, I want to bring you into the political world for a second here, because the State of the Union is tonight, and we can be sure that President Obama will talk about the success. We just got a great jobs report. The economy during his, you know, time in office has gone done well overall. Bloomberg, even, not a liberal organization, news organization, has said that the economy's done very well under Obama. Republicans say it's the Fed's quantitative easing and that kind of thing. Do you think credit for this goes to Obama? Do you think overall the economy has fared well under Obama?
I think it has fared okay. It recovered from a very deep trough, Anna. But I can't point to one single program passed by his administration that would be a positive for the economy. I mean, I think it's, but that same goes for the Republican Party. In other words, nothing that either party has done, and perhaps because they were fighting so much, the only thing that could get done was the Fed, which you correctly said is the one that deserves the credit for the recovery that we've had. They made money very cheap. It cost savers a lot of money, and, you know, it's been much tougher on older people that were living on fixed incomes. But I can't point to one single, I mean, not one single, because, for instance, the Dodd-Frank, I think, is a jobs killer. The Affordable Care Act is a jobs killer. We've seen people having to work two and three jobs because people won't employ over 30 hours a week. So I don't think any of that is positive. I'm not going to hang all of it on the president, but I can't point to anything that he's done that would have caused the economy to lift other than the fact that he fought with the Republicans and they basically fought to a draw, if you will, and then we've got the Fed that made money basically free.
I would like to agree with Dr. J on what he just said. I will stipulate to what I just heard right there. I was actually waiting to. It just tells me what a judicious man John Najarian
is.
A very brilliant guy. Because I know if I had asked him that in the privacy of his own living room, I would have gotten a very different answer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think that
a very similar answer, but it might have been.
Different language.
With a few explicatives, yeah.
Right. Yes, a little more emphatic, potentially.
A little more emphatic, right. Mm-hmm. Quantitative easy. And, you know, the other thing, I thought that, and you're right, the Fed did do a nice job there, and we got to learn something very important. We got to learn a whole new piece of trade craft for the Federal Reserve. We would be able to tell whether interest rates were going to go up, go down, or stay steady based on the amount of Just for Men that Ben Bernanke would have in his beard. If there was a certain amount of gray in his beard, you knew that he was sending a message. We're holding. If he blacked it all the way out, if he darkened his own beard, then it was like, oh, they're going to go up by 25 basis points. You know, it was like that was that kind of thing that was going on.
And now we have the Janet Yellen. What do you say, Ro?
It's
the
pearls, no pearls.
Pearls and no pearls.
Right.
Watch for that, Dr. J. Okay.
Exactly.
A little investment advice from Ro.
Right. There was a moment where and as people will recall that you go all the way back to Yoda. Alan Greenspan, and if he pulled his handkerchief, his pocket square, out of his suit coat, and he wiped his nose, he was always telling us.
That was nervous?
He was telling us that, they were going to drop 25 basis points. That was a little something like that he would do. So we learned a lot from that. All right, Dr. J, thank you very much. OptionMonster.com, TradeMonster.com. In other words, you're saying, and you've got a lot of skin in the game, you're not necessarily going to follow the advice of RBS right now, right?
No, I'm not.
All right.
We're buying far more than we're selling on this dip.
All right. That's
good to hear.
That's what goes on. And you and your brother Pete have written a book that makes a total amount of sense, How We Trade Options, because that is the for people who want to get involved in that. That can be very confusing. If you don't know what you're doing, you get hurt very badly. So I suggest before anybody wants to dip their toe in that water, they read that book. All right. Thank you, Doctor.
Thanks, Dr. J.
All right.
Thanks, Rose. Thanks, Anna.